Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. You may take your seats, amen. Just want to begin by just thanking Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky for the opportunity to speak, for the leadership team, for Pastor Kevin again, who coordinates the Wednesday evenings, for my wife, who would love to be here, but she's with the team there in Liverpool, establishing the work there. Just want to give her some thanks and praise. Such a woman of God, do you know what I mean? And I just love her so much. But yeah, the theme, to be thankful, to be grateful. Do you know what I mean? And that, in this season of Thanksgiving, this next season, this next session. And it's just wonderful where I've been all finished off. Do you know, it just helped lay a platform for me to continue. And I just want to pray. I believe the Lord's gave me a word. Do you know what I mean? He gave me something over the weekend. And let's pray that you prepare your hearts to receive. Amen. I'm going to share it the best I can. And we give God glory. Amen. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Holy Spirit, I pray, come and empower me. And in the same spirit that you gave me this word, I pray that it would come forth with simplicity, with understanding. Father, that it would just be easy to speak. I pray that the scriptures, the different things that you've given me, the meditations, Lord, I pray that they would just flow. Father, just continue to move, continue to impress yourself upon our hearts in this sanctuary, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13, the word of God reads, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Let me read that again. "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place." Now, in 2 Corinthians 3 and 5, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Amen. That's why I thank Abner. No, I mean, I was praying. And when Pastor Kevin, it's been like she said, there's seasons and there's time frames and there's, you know what I mean, there's things that go on. And in a season, they talk about a phase or a period, or for myself, I'm going to share some personal stuff, know what I mean, about myself, that it's been like decided that it's a cycle, do you know? And for me, thinking about spring, summer, autumn, and winter, for me, I spring forth in January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August. I sow, you know what I mean, and I plan, and I get in the word, I worship. But come the winter season, I shrink back, I fall into myself, you know what I mean, and I go into a depressive state, you know. And some that know me know this, some that don't might think, nah, I can't see it. But outwardly, things can look okay, but inwardly, I'm in the jail cell of my mind. And that's why I know, do you know what I mean, that for me to be standing here tonight is only by the grace of God. Because the last couple of months, leading up to conference, do you know what I mean, doing the labour, getting things right, working with my wife for the home, working with the leadership to get things right, right up to the very beginning of it, that season, that stronghold, that mindset pulled me back. That shrank away. Maybe some didn't notice, but some might have. Do you know what I mean? That almost, like a contender almost, do you know what I mean? Putting the training in, getting things established. But when the big event comes, shrinking back. Also because of the esteem issues, do you know what I mean? The struggles from growing up. The things that the enemy knows that he can use in my life to cause me to go through these phases, to fall into these cycles and patterns. And these events are regular in my life. Do you know what I mean? They're regular, and the phases are as numerous as the years that I can even remember. But I thank God for Pastor Kevin, do you know, because he sees the hurt in my eyes sometimes, and he sees the struggles that I go through. And he sent me a text at 7:27 on Saturday morning. And when you're lying in your bed sometimes and there's no motivation and you ain't studying the way you should and you ain't worshipping the way you should, and you get a text to say, are you okay to preach on Wednesday? And you think you're cast off, you know what I mean? When you think you're of no purpose and of no value, and that you've, what could you possibly give when you haven't studied or you haven't worshipped or you haven't praised, and you're locked up in your mind and you're in your yodge, as Pastor Paul would call it. You've not got the joy and it's not your strength, but you're just yodging it in the yodge. And something happened, but I'm laying the foundation, do you know what I mean? And I really believe that I'm not the only one, do you know what I mean? And God's gave me this word to help someone else tonight. And that, going back to the original scripture, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us wants to diffuse the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Now God wants to use us, simple people that we are, rejected of society, some of us weren't as bad as, not I mean, others, not I mean, but we're messed up in some way. Whether we were lost with no sight, but through his amazing grace gave us that sight, whether we're drug addicts and needed a savior, a helper, a redeemer, know what I mean, whether we were just good people that just needed more of an identity and a purpose in which Christ gave us. But that word diffuse means to manifest his presence. God wants to use us to be carriers of his good news. And the word diffuse means to spread over a wide area. God wants to use our lives to spread the gospel over a wide area. Not just over our lives, not just over our neighbor's life, not just over our street or our community, but over a nation and to take the world. Bill Hybels writes a book called Becoming a Contagious Christian. Now the key word in that opening statement is becoming. Because you aren't just a great contagious Christian straight away. You've got to go through certain processes. You've got to go certain trials and some fire and some floods. Do you know what I mean? You've got to go through some stuff to have your faith credited. Do you know what I mean? To have some sort of substance. You know what I mean? So that you can be a carrier of God's presence. And again in 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. And only the Spirit brings life. The inward power bearing the Spirit of God himself. God wants us to, he wants us to just take this word from the paper and not just get it in our heads, but to turn it over into our hearts. So that through the Spirit of God and through that Spirit of revelation in the circumstances of life, for every cycle, for every phase, for every period, know what I mean? The manifestation of his glory, the manifestation of his presence will be carried to the inner cities, to our jobs, to our colleges, to our workplaces, so that when we are that living epistle, we are the word in action. That's why we've got to conduct ourselves with a clear conscience, practicing diligence in everything we do. Because what we do should reflect what Jesus would do. Some of us still wear those little bracelet bands that say WWJD or push or frog or that mean, and yeah, fully rely on God and what would Jesus do and pray until something happens. All these statements, do you know what I mean? What would Jesus do in certain situations? That's what we should be looking at. When you're standing in your workplace and you've got someone continually jibing you, call yourself a Christian, call yourself a Christian, call yourself a Christian all day long, standing next to you, selling whatever, know what I mean? Or that's just for me and those that know, do you know what I mean? whatever you have to face at your workplace. Maybe somebody's flicking paper clips at you. Do you know what I mean? Coming and playing about with your, you know what I mean, what's that thing, the stapler, and wasting all your staples, or using your paper, or stealing your pen, or, do you know what I mean? Hello, the little things, they get under your skin. What would Jesus do? Would he say, God bless you? Would he turn the other cheek? Would he go the second mile? How we conduct ourselves when we're in the yodge, when we're going through the phases of our life, when we're going through our periods. Hello, men. We can still go through a period in our life. Amen. We can still go through cycles. Amen. And if we're still going through periods and we're still going through cycles, then there's life in our body. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I let that one just sink. Let that one go down. Amen. Hallelujah. Boom. But yeah, Ecclesiastes in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, and for each thing has its proper time of cycle. See, God knows, do you know what I mean, what we're going to go through. God knows the things we're going to need help with. He knows what we need deliver from. He knows the strongholds. And the key thing about strongholds is, you got to know whose stronghold you're in. Like Pastor was saying on Sunday, do you know what I mean? Some strongholds are the enemy, the devil. He has you so bound up and wrapped up, man. It's just tight. But some strongholds are in God. Some 45 cities are God. Know what I mean? Ordained. And you've got to know which one you're in. Who's coming in and who's leaving. Do you know what I mean? When you say, does anybody had, know what I mean, a trespasser? We did. And we had a good laugh on Sunday about one of our trespassers we had, me and Fiona. Do you know what I mean? Who we allowed in. Do you know what I mean? But the mess and the carnage of that one person that got in could have been devastating. Do you know what I mean? For one of us. Do you know? And it's key what you allow in. Amen. But yeah, as I said, for me, my esteem, my worth, my significance gets attacked. I get reminded of past mistakes, wrong decisions. But on Saturday morning, I got that text. And it just felt like, when you read like the book of Ezekiel and that, and it says, the Lord lifted them up and tear them to a place. Well, for me, this might sound funny, it's not meant to, but it felt like the Lord just lifted me from my bed, do you know what I mean, and carried me to the toilet. Now, now you may laugh, but anybody who's ever run a man or a woman's home or got kids or got people living with them, sometimes the toilet is your only stronghold, is your only fortified place where you can get privacy and time alone with your God. Amen. I was carried in the spirit of the day to the toilet. And I was broken. And I was busted. Because up until that point, I felt I was letting everyone down. I felt I was giving no value to the team. I felt like my whole world was crashing in around me. I was taken to my bed, and my wife was coming in late from conference, getting up early from conference, and I'm lying there in the yodge, depressed, oppressed, messed up. And I'm under the cover, and there's nothing I could do. In all seriousness, there was nothing I could do. And all I could see, even with my eyes shut, was how sad she was. The picture, you know what I mean, of her just walking in, looking for help, looking for support, looking for strength. And I couldn't give it to her because of the bondage and how bound I was. I'm being real with you tonight. This is how it was, you know what I mean, over these last couple of months. Do you know what I mean? And I still ain't out of it yet, but I'm coming through. Amen. because I thank God for a leadership team that gives us opportunity after opportunity to keep going, to keep rising up, to keep fighting, to keep pressing in. And that's what we've got to be grateful for in Victory Outreach, the opportunities to stand, the opportunities to fight. And I was there. In my marriage, I could feel it going. Everything was just feeling like it was just going to the wall. I was coming to worship practice. I was coming to the teachings. I was coming and doing the functional things. I was getting by. I was worshiping to an extent. I was praying to an extent. I was doing the things that I had to do. But my mind was still eyes deadpan. People were looking at me for answers, for response, and I couldn't give it. I wanted to, but it wasn't coming forth. Because the enemy knows how to attack you when you're vulnerable, when you're not. What God was showing me was, you've got to be submitted to his will. You've got to be obedient to what he tells you to do. Because if you aren't, you take yourself out of the covering of his protection. And when you're out of that protection and out of God's will, then you're vulnerable for every attack going. But I thank God for the musicians in this church. Thank God for Damien and the Lord just told me just to acknowledge him, you know what I mean? Because songs are songs, do you know what I mean? And words are words and they're powerful. Do you know? And I'm moving on, do you know what I mean? Because I know time's moving on. And I'm just building up. And when I was in that toilet, the Lord just began, do you know what I mean? The Lord just began to download, do you know what I mean? It was like, do you know what I mean? I'm telling you, I've heard testimonies of people that say, when the Lord downloads like that, there is nothing like it. Is this good food? It gets better. It gets better. Because it was almost like I got there and I was busted, as I was saying, I was crying. And even when I looked around, everything I was looking at, it just made me worse. I looked in the mirror, I just seen this awful state, it was me. Do you know what I mean? I was like, what is going on, Lord? Do you know what I mean? I was like, why? You know what I mean? I mean, it's like, as soon as he texted me, I was already like, how can I get out of this? You know what I mean? I ain't got nothing. Then I was like, okay, I better start praying then. And he went, amen. And then he said, you're with Abby. And I was like, that's a mixed match, isn't it? I was like, wow, you know what I mean? That's different. But in that, I was just busted. I was in bits. And then all of a sudden, it was like I was in a washing machine. I started getting this image of a washing machine. And going back to the cycle, it was like everything was just getting stirred up in me at this point. It was like hatred, anger, esteem issues. And it was like, this is getting worse. Then things just weren't getting any clearer. I was like, God. And then words didn't come. I couldn't speak. I was like, you know when you've got that agonizing face on, you know what I mean? And your eyes are just filled up with tears and that. And then I just heard a rift. Not a belching rift, come on, you know what I mean? I know, but like a rift of a guitar. Do you know what I mean? And it was just like, there wasn't a song that came. It was just a little tune, a little rift, a little bit of music. And Damien, it's just that little rift in Glorious. Do you know what I mean? And it just kept coming through silently, and then it was getting stronger. And it was down, 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 seen me through. And I was like, but what that did, when I had no words to speak, when I had no song to sing, no prayer to pray, I mean, these last couple of months, that is what seen me through. When I've left for work feeling totally messed up, seeing my wife leave half an hour before I've even got up, know what I mean, wondering if I'm even going to make it through the day, if I'm even going to be there when she gets back, if I'm even going to help with the girls when they come in, whether I'm going to help with the people that we were hosting. Do you know what I mean? That little rift is what seen me through the last couple of months and still is. Do you know what I mean? You might think, well, what? But just giving the, oh, oh, no words, just that little bit of music, do you know what I mean, has just seen me through. And what I want to say is, what's seen you through? What sees you through your cycle? What season are you in? Are you in summer, spring, autumn, winter? Because when it says turn your morning into dancing, do you know what I mean? Sometimes your morning ain't morning. Sometimes your season ain't the way in the natural ways of working. And in God's supernatural ways, things are just out of sync to the natural. And that's why we've got to be led by the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit then came me once I composed myself. Once I started singing that song, once I started glorifying him again, he's taken me and he just gave me two examples, like two cavemen. Do you know what I mean? And I thank God that throughout the Bible there's men and there's women, know what I mean, that have been through some stuff, amen, who we can relate to, know what I mean, who we can gain, know what I mean, some nuggets from and how to survive, even if it means running and taking to our heels for a season. Amen. And the first one was David. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14. Now, Saul was king. He'd already got the news that his kingdom was getting taken from him because of his disobedience. And what I said was, remember, that through disobedience and not doing what the Lord tells us takes us out of his protection. Well, it said that he had a distressing spirit from the Lord. Now, he sent out and he inquired of his men, is there anybody that can play the harp or any instrument, know what I mean? And one guy obviously perceived David back then, who was only a 15-year-old, ruddy, good-looking redhead. Hello, as some commentators would have us believe. Amen. Blue eyes. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. As I said, this is an example of someone who was unsubmitted and disobedient. He left himself unprotected from evil and its destructive effects. But in verse 23, after they found David, a man after God's own heart, a man of valor, do you know what I mean? A man who hadn't even, do you know what I mean, grew up, they say he was only about 15 years old at this time, do you know what I mean? And so it was in verse 23, that whenever the Spirit from God was upon Saul, that David would take the harp and play it with his hand. Then Saul would become refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would leave him. You've got to thank God for the Davids in our lives. Do you know what I mean? That's why I acknowledge Damien. Do you know what I mean? Because when that distressing spirit was hard on me, when I was oppressed there, and I just heard that little riff, that little jingle, that little playing of the harp skillfully, do you know what I mean? Coming through my spirit at the right time. Amen? At the right time. At the right times and at the right moments. You've got to know who your David is. Amen? And in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 10, throughout from 16 to 18, David and Goliath, he became a giant killer. Women started ascribing songs to him. Now Saul's still king. Now he's getting a bit jealous here, a bit envious, a bit resentful to young David. But then the penny must have dropped somewhere, do you know what I mean, or somehow someone's got the nod that this is going to be the future king of Israel. And as before, King Saul started behaving like a madman. It says he started prophesying, but one commentary said he was like a raving lunatic. And when they thought he was prophesying, he was probably muttering under his breath. As David would come in, he would go for the harp, and he would go to do as he would do as before, and play skillfully, and that spirit would leave. This time, he taken a spear and tried to pin him to the wall. Because obviously by now, the jealousy, the envy, do you know what I mean, had set in that this young man was about to take his kingdom. Sometimes, I'm both of these men. I know what it's like to comfort those who mourn or to go through personal struggles. Or being the soul, jealous, envious, unsubmitted, how it's to be anxious of heart or suffering from severe depression. And when the Lord was showing me these things, I was like, wow, it was deep. But he's like, I want you to share this. Do you know what I mean? Because there's other people, you know what I mean, that can relate to this. That you've been both of these men. In some time, or if it's not now, you possibly will enter a period where you will be envious, you will be jealous, you will be distressed in spirit, you will be anxious of heart, you will fall into a time where you're in the yodge, where there's no joy. And the second man was Elijah. Now Elijah just killed 450 prophets. But then one word from Jezebel sent him on the run. This was a man who was on fire for God, calling down fire, killing, you know what I mean, the prophets of Baal, stopping rain, commanding rain, do you know what I mean? But when he found out that Jezebel was coming after him, when he turned on that spirit of fear, when he felt that he was all alone, do you know what I mean, that there was only him left as he perceived it, he had a supernatural meal, because it says in the Bible that he had a meal, and his strength lasted 40 days. Now, I don't know what kind of food he was eating back then, do you know what I mean, but I ain't ate a meal that's even lasted me half a day, do you know what I mean, fasting permitted. But then he found himself in a cave. 40 days he went without food, went to a cave. And just like many of us, do you know what I mean, we find ourselves in cycles and patterns in life that we shouldn't even be in Christ. That as we come to Christ, as we, you know what I mean, become new creations in Christ, the door's open for freedom. The door is open. The altar is open. It's for freedom that Christ went to the cross. It was for freedom that he died for you and I. But God called Elijah. He said, what are you doing here in the cave? And it's the same question God asks us sometimes when we find ourselves, you know what I mean, discontented or disconnected or far from what's taking place. Because we can be in the room, but not in the room. We can be part of the conversation, but not part of the conversation. And God simply says, what are you doing here? Because all Elijah wanted to do, you know what I mean, was die. He only seen himself. He was only looking in himself. He wasn't looking outward. You know what I mean? That what had just happened or what was taking place. But in 1 Kings 19, in verse 11, the Lord called them to come to the front of that cave. And there was a great wind. There was a great earthquake. There was a great fire. But after all these things, just a still small voice. And Elijah, again, gave him the same story. The children of Israel are still doing bad, you know what I mean? And I'm the only one left, so I'm as well dead. You know what I mean? There's no point having that pity party, blaming everyone else. Do you know what I mean? It's their fault. It's the leader's fault. It's my fault. But what can I do about it? I'm just in the yodge. I've no strength, no joy. Nobody wants to help me. You can see I'm hurting, but you ain't helping me. And everybody else is to blame. Why judge me? Judge yourself first, then come back to me. You know what I mean? You want a plank or you want a speck? Pity party. But you got to ask yourself, what am I doing here? Just as God asked Elijah in quietness, almost a whisper, but with such power, what are you doing here? The first day before the Saturday, we had a pit meeting in the fellowship room here. And I was there, and we were envisioning the new pits coming in, do you know what I mean? And we shared testimony and stuff, and it was great, do you know what I mean? Because even though we go through stuff, we should always give thanks. Do you know what I mean? We should always be thankful that we're not where we were. We might not be where we want to be or where we should be, but we thank God for His grace. And He graced me on Thursday. And just as I was about to leave to get on my insignificant road back home, ho-hum, because that's how it is. That's how the feeling is. You know what I mean? There's no significance. There's nothing. There's no point. You know what I mean? You can all go back in the vans or the cars. I'm just going to mope right down the highway to the bus because I'm in the yodge, I'm in the prison, the mindset of my mind, and I can't get out. And then Pastor Paul, in quietness and with such strength, just stopped me with his eyes. I was like, oof, as he does with that chewed lip. Come on, you know the lip. And he just looked, and I couldn't say nothing because I have nothing to say, and I've learned in these seasons to say nothing is better than shooting and sharpening and doing all sorts of madness. And all he said was, because he knows me. Sister Vicky knows me. Do you know what I mean? All he said was, don't make any decisions when you're tired. Simple, but made sense to me. And I hope someone else hearing that, who's maybe tired, who is maybe feeling the same way, don't make any decisions when you're tired. Because this too shall pass. Does the worship team come back? Amen. Ask yourself, what season are you in? Where are you at? I know this word that's came forth, you know what I mean, and it's had a few laughs, you know what I mean, and there's been a few things going on, but I know that there's people out there, you know what I mean, that need to respond. The cage is open. He also gave me an image of a bird cage with the bird there, do you know what I mean, on its little perch. And the cage is open. And all you have to do is come out. All you have to do is step forward. See, God didn't just allow Elijah to wallow in the mire. Because after he got him from that cave, and after the wind, after the floods, after the fire, after the earthquake, after all the rocks that were falling round about him, God gave him a mission. He listened to him. He listened to his pity party. He didn't agree with him. The Bible doesn't say he agreed with Elijah. He says, go. Go. And that's why I say this. God still has use of you. You are still useful to God. No matter what you think you're going through, whether you think you're too far away, whether you think you've done too much wrong, whether you think you're so misinterpreted, you know what I mean? You are still useful in the hands of God. If you've got breath and God calls you to go, go. Be that infectious Christian that can diffuse the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. Going back to the beginning, God is calling you and I to be significant people in a dying world. Amen. We can make it count. For me, in that bathroom, it was like a final spin. It was like the final spin in the washing, where things were being dealt with, where God was reminding me that as He washes sin away, I become whiter than snow. When He's opening doors that no man shut. You might be like a lion roaring and intimidating with your cage door open, refusing to come out. You might be like a bird who's lost its song. If you just stand tonight. David, going back to David, 10 years he went on the run from Saul, finding himself in caves and in the cleft of rocks. He found himself in the cave of Adullam. Now to me, that cave wasn't small. Why do I say that? 400 men plus his family, that ain't no small cave. Let me tell you, you might find yourself at the edge of your cave, but before long you might find yourself where Vicky is and Chris is on that soundboard, way back there, when your back's against the wall. Most times that's when our backs are against the wall, that's when we turn back to God. When there's nowhere else to go, when there's no one else to help us, that's when we most cry out to God. And God is calling us through that still small voice. What are you doing here? Why are you here? The door is open. Freedom is there. It's accessible to you and I. So as the worship team just begin to sing, just prepare your heart. If you already know that you need to respond, and you come, you make an altar. If you just want to just turn it over in your heart and respond, you do that also. But whatever you do, be obedient in accordance with God's will.